Well, good morning again. We are in the midst of a series that is taking us up to Easter. It's on the screen there behind me, entitled Because He Lives. We've been looking at the kind of life that Jesus has promised us. We started out our very first week looking at a verse in John where Jesus made this promise. He said, because I live, you will live also. And that life that he offers to us is very different than the life we're familiar with in this world. It's different than all the stuff and just our mind and our hearts and all that stuff. It's a life that is other than that, better than that. And it's actually the life that Jesus existed on. It was the life that he was receiving from the Father and now extends to us. It was the thing that made him alive, if you will. last week we were looking at one aspect of this life and how involved in it is this living hope. It's not a dead hope. It's not a I hope so kind of hope. It's a living hope. It's an alive hope that you know kind of ushers in faith, and faith comes alongside hope, and it's like we can, you know, things don't look bleak and dim and bad and horrible because we have the Zoe life of God flowing through us. It lights something up. Thank you. It lights something up inside of us. I'd like to turn the page on that. I'd like to talk about another aspect of because he lives this morning. I'm calling that because he lives, I have peace. I have peace. My concern is, and I'm going to say this again, by the way, those prophetic words that were shared, especially Tammy, she essentially preached my whole sermon. So I don't have much to add to what she's already said, but I'll try to kind of put it in perspective. Thanks, Tammy. I really appreciate that. Love it when my thunder is totally gone, shot. It's all good. It's all good. Anyways, here's my concern. Here's my concern is that people find themselves living between Friday and Sunday. I'm going to call us Saturday Christians. We've embraced the cross, and we've enjoyed the incredible forgiveness and the incredible relief knowing that I've been forgiven of my sins. But we forget about the resurrection. Let me explain that to you. Okay, I'm calling this because he lives, I have peace. And I want to start this morning by, can you imagine what the paper, if there was a paper in Jerusalem on Saturday after Good Friday, what the headlines would have said? Did you ever think about that? You know, because there were just regular human beings like you and I, and obviously they didn't have the same kind of, you know, mass production of papers and all that stuff back then. But can you imagine what their paper would have said? I'm calling it the Jerusalem Journal. And here are some of the headlines that I think, anyways, would have been in the paper on Saturday. Not Sunday, not Monday. In the paper on Saturday. I think this is one article that would have been in there. Pilate finds keeping order during Passover a difficult task. There would have been a whole article on how disruptive the whole Passover has been and everything has been going on, right? Okay, known murderer released from prison early. Barabbas, you remember that? The known thief and murderer let go. That would have made the paper. In our day, in our time, that would have made the paper. High priest talks tough to Pilate. right? This headline, articles that would have been written. Religious leaders demand the death of Jesus from Nazareth. Would have made the paper. Unexplained phenomenons leave people terrified. Right? We got darkness for 3 hours for no explained reason. We've got earthquakes happening that is ripping a curtain in two in their temple. We've got people, dead people coming out of the ground. Read the Bible. Dead people coming out of the ground and showing up and talking with people. Trust me, it would have made the paper. Would have made the paper. What I want you to see in this just little exercise is that there's a tone. There would have been a tone to what was in the headlines on that occasion. And the tone would have been very similar to the tone if you were to pick up one of our papers today. Right? Or if you watch the news today. It's very negative. It's very fear-induced. It's laden with that. It's like, you know, here a few weeks ago, what was it? A few weeks ago, you shouldn't drink, you know, one cup of coffee. If you drink more than one cup of coffee, you will have heart disease and blah, 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 blah. 3 weeks later, please drink 5 cups of coffee because it wards off cancer and blah, 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 blah. Anyways, all this stuff that we read and that we're exposed to, I don't know about you, but it's like they want to, you know, hang on. It's all like that. It's all just what's happening. And I don't think it would have been a whole lot different back then. In fact, I'm going to show you this morning that it wasn't a whole lot different back then. The tone of things is now and was then a tone of fear and anxiety. I was reading this week, what Americans fear. What are some of the things Americans most fear? And here's some of the things I found out. First of all, 9 out of 10 Americans say that they are less safe today than they were when they were being raised as children. So there's just this notion in people's minds and hearts that the atmosphere out there is more dangerous or more, it's not as safe as it was when we were kids. Right? Did you see this couple that has been in the news lately? They were arrested or charged for letting their kids walk home. It was quite a long ways. I forget, it was like a mile, I guess, from the playground to their house. 9, 10 years old, something like that, the kids were? All right. Most people don't do that, right? But when I was a kid, right? When we were kids, it was just different. It seemed different anyways. 3 out of 10 people, I can't see that very well, can you? 4 out of 10 say they feel unsafe to walk alone at night. 3 out of 10 fear being involved in a bombing incident, a terrorist type attack. Now here's some other ones. Here it is. 54% of people are afraid or very afraid of being in a car crash. 52% of Americans are afraid or very afraid of getting cancer. 50% are afraid of not getting or very afraid of not getting Social Security at the end of the road. 49% are afraid or very afraid of not having enough money for retirement. And 36% are afraid or very afraid of being a victim of violence. When I read that stuff, I said, people seem to have a lot to be afraid of. And I immediately wanted to ask you this question: what are you afraid of? You're an American. What are you afraid of? What am I afraid of? I have to lighten the mood here a moment. There was a very spiritual, religious woman who did a lot of travel for her business. But she was also a very fearful person, and so the mix of traveling by plane and her fear of planes led her to always take her Bible along with her. At one time, as she was sitting on the plane next to a man, he saw her pull out her Bible and he chuckled at her and even smirked and went back to what he was doing. But after a while, he finally turned to her and said, "You really don't believe all the stuff that's in there, do you?" The woman replied, "Of course I do. It's in the Bible." The man said, "Well, what about the guy that was swallowed by the big fish?" She replied, "Oh, that was Jonah. I believe that. It's in the Bible." He asked, "Well, how do you suppose he survived all that time inside the whale?" The woman said, "Well, I really don't know. I guess when I get to heaven, I'll have to ask." He said, "Well, what if there is no heaven? What if he's not in heaven? And what if there is no heaven?" The man asked sarcastically. And she said to him, "Then you can ask him." People live under all kinds of anxieties and fears. Some of them are external, and some of them are internal. It's kind of what Samantha was touching on a little bit. Those insecurities that we have inside of us that have nothing to do with external circumstances that might be going on. This morning, what I want you to see is that we're not a whole lot different than those people that were the first followers of Christ on Saturday after Good Friday. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn to John chapter 20. I'm sorry I don't have it on the screen. You'll have to, hopefully you brought your Bibles and you can find it there. John chapter 20, verse 19. 20:19. Verse 19 begins by saying, On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. I want to pause there for just a second and just make sure we understand the scenario here. Here we find these young early believers with hearts and lives filled with anxiety and fear, and I'm sure the reasons were many for that, but I've got to believe that top on their list was that they might be next. Remember, they just took out the leader of their movement. And they've got to be thinking to themselves, well, if they're taking him out, what does that spell for us? So they find themselves, as it says here in verse 19, together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Now I want you to see what happens next in verse 19. It says, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." If you look down just a couple of verses, you'll notice that it says, he says it again, "Peace be with you." So he greets them or says, "Peace be with you." Then a little bit more, then he says again, "Peace be with you." It's interesting, if you do some gospel comparisons, you'll find if you look in Luke's gospel, you'll find him remembering something else that Jesus said at that moment that John doesn't record. Luke remembers Jesus saying also these words, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds?" I have a slide here for you in, Help me, Dave. There we go. In Luke, the verse there is Luke 24:38. The word for troubled in Luke's gospel means, in the Greek, means confusion and unrest. Verses in John 20, in both 19 and 21, the word for peace means quietness, rest, and well-being. I want to suggest this to us this morning, that when Jesus showed up here at this place where they were hiding behind these locked doors, His statement to them in saying, "Peace be with you," was more than a greeting. It was more than a salutation. It was more than just, "Hey, what's happening?" This "peace be with you" was an invitation. It was an invitation to leave the prison of fear and anxiety that they found themselves in. It was an invitation to join with and receive the peace of the resurrected Christ in order to have their doubts and their fears be transformed into quietness, rest, and well-being. It was both a declaration to them, but it was also an invitation to them to join with him. Now, the reason that I say that is the Greek word for peace is the word eirene. And it comes from a word that's spelled, I'll say it rather than try to pronounce it, E-I-R-O, Irero or something like that. That root word means to join with. To join with someone in order to benefit, if you will, by being part of the team. Well, I'll say it that way, or part of who that person is. So this idea of peace be with you is just not a greeting or something to say when he shows up there. He was actually offering to them an opportunity to leave where they're at and come and be joined with him. Are you there? Okay, now. In my mind, anyways, I think there's a couple things happening here. Their fear of bios stuff, life stuff. Remember, we talked about that the first week. Their fear of that kind of stuff led to them locking themselves in this room behind a door. But their fear of bios stuff led their psyche to also be filled with doubt and anxiety. Okay, I just read the verses that way. When Jesus stepped into that moment, he was offering them the Zoe life of God that would extinguish their fear of bios and transform their psyche to a place of peace and well-being. As you can see by just looking at these couple verses, when fear and anxiety are at work in our lives, we are not very effective. You are not effective if you are hiding in a locked room. When you and I fear bios, and it affects our psyche because of that, when that happens, it in a very real way paralyzes us from being able to do the things God's called us to do. These were literal locked doors that these folks were hiding behind. But I believe there are many times that those locked doors in our lives aren't literal ones, but they're doors that we have formed in our lives in order to try to protect ourselves and to keep hurt and harm from coming our way. These doors that are designed, we got to remember this, the doors that we erect to keep stuff from hurting us are also the very same doors that imprison us, that keep us locked in, if you will. And in that way, we become entombed. We accept, okay, there are two tombs. I like the one that was earlier mentioned about Lazarus, Tammy said about Lazarus. But when I was thinking about this, there's really one's real and the other one's figurative, there's really two tombs to this resurrection story. The first one is the one that Jesus was temporarily confined to, the one we talk about on Easter morning, that the stone gets rolled away from, that tomb. The one that guards were set over to watch. There's really, in the resurrection story, there's two tombs, but there's also two guards. In this one tomb, the literal tomb, was the one that Matthew recorded telling us in Matthew 27:65. He said, take a guard and make sure the tomb is secure. As secure as you know how to make it. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. So we've got a rock that takes several people involved to move. But beyond the rock, we've got wax seals or some kind of seals on this thing to make sure nobody disrupts it or moves it from its place of closing the opening up. And then on top of that, we've got this guard. And I did just a little bit of research on that, and it's suspected that there was a detachment of about four soldiers. So there's four soldiers watching over this stone that's been rolled in front of this cave, and it's got the seal on it to make sure nobody's tampered with it. How all of that played out exactly, we don't know for sure whether the angel moved the stone, or we know the guards fell down like they were dead people, and some stuff happened there. But one of the things that tells us about that particular tomb and the guards over it is that there's nothing that's going to keep God from doing what he set out to do. And here, I think we need to identify this clearly because it speaks to the times that we're living in. The fact that God had a plan and a purpose to not only have his son go to the cross for us, but to also raise his son from the dead is saying to us that no misguided religions are going to get him off track from doing what he set out to do. No misguided religion. We have some misguided religions going on right now. Those are not going to keep God from doing what he's ultimately set out to do. There are no political leaders who are going to keep God from doing what God wants to do. He's like a pilot. Pilot can say, well, we need to do this, and we need to, we got to secure this thing. Then the religious or leaders say, we got to do something because if we don't do this thing, they're going to say that he stole the body and blah, 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 blah. So they do everything they know to do, including kill him. They did everything that they knew to do to try to stop what God was trying to do, and none of it worked. None of it worked. It is the resurrection life. And this morning I'm talking to us about the specific component of peace that Jesus comes into the midst of these believers to offer them. I've already alluded to the fact that in some ways I kind of see them locked behind these doors as the tomb they found themselves in. And while there was no guard on the outside trying to keep them in and others out, the Bible says that Jesus has an offering to us. He puts forward to us something to guard our lives, something much better than hiding out in a closet or in a room, nervous and anxious about what's going to happen. Jesus says, would you accept my invitation to join with the resurrected one? And here's what I offer you. I offer to you the peace of God that will guard your heart and your mind. That will serve as a guard for you to keep you from being entombed or imprisoned by fear and anxiety. Now, somebody might ask, as I did, how does this actually happen in a practical way? How does this exchange take place? How do we go from being locked in these places to being free to join with the resurrected one and continue to experience the Zoe life that he offers us? How is it that my fears and anxieties of life can be put to rest and my internal, especially, and you know, as I look at it differently, my external being be made well? If you remember the first week I talked to you, I said to you that in order to grab hold of that which God is offering us, we have to inevitably let go of some things. And this morning, what I'm saying to us is that we have to be willing to let go of whatever it is that's holding us entombed in these rooms. You know, Jesus could walk in the midst of them and stand there and extend this invitation, peace be with you, and he's inviting them to come out from their place of hiding and enjoy the life-giving presence that he offers them. And they could be in that room and say, well, you know, it worked out good for you, but how do we know it's going to work out good for us? You know, and listen, the last time we came out of the room here, they took you off and they killed you and what? You know, all these excuses, there's all these excuses for why we don't just stay put where we're at. But in order for you to receive and accept the Zoe life of God, you've got to come out of the room. You got to come out of the closet. How's that? You got to come out of the closet. It's as simple as that. There's things that need to be let go of. Now, you might be asking, what is it? What is it that we have to let go of in order to embrace the peace of God as he sees it? Here it is. I need to let go of my ego. And when I say ego, I don't mean just pride and things attributed to that. When I say ego, I mean that thing that we have about ourselves where we see everything through the me and I lens, right? This happened to me. They did this to me. This belongs to me. That whole thing where, you know, life revolves around me. It's all about me. It's what happened to me? What happened to, you know, it's that thing in us that protects, that's very protective of ourself. When we let our ego go, we see things differently. We will no longer respond to events and situations like we normally or used to do. I'm going to say that again. When you let go of your ego, you will see things differently. Because here's what happens. When that stuff gets a hold of our lives, we're behind the locked door. We put the guard up there. And now we become ineffective. We've isolated ourselves. And now all of a sudden, you may think you're just isolating yourself from that particular situation, but because your psyche and all that stuff is so, you know, wound up in this thing, it's like you're ineffective in trying to really do effective ministry to others because you're all bound up by this other thing. When we let go, we see things differently, and we respond to situations and events in a different way. There's much less to fight about. Hello? And much less to worry about. Number two. Dave, help me, bud. Help me, bud. Give me one. All right. Need to let go of your thoughts. Now, some people are saying right now, my thoughts have let go of me. I'm not talking about, like, you know, becoming forgetful. I'm talking about letting go of those that voice that was talked about here this morning, that constant drone of doubts and anxiety and we have to let go of those. I wrote it here in my notes is that, you know, when I find myself in this mode where my thoughts are just, you know what I'm talking about? Where my thoughts are just, you know, I'm going from one thing to another thing and I picture a hamster on a wheel in the cage. You know the hamster on a wheel? And he's like this, and you got the rungs on the ladder. Each rung is a thought, and it's like, whoop. And it's like I can't get that wheel shut off. God is saying you have to let go of that. You have to let go. If you want to join with me and enter into this rest I'm offering to you, this peace and rest, you have to let go of those things. When these thoughts come to us, we must not entertain them. When these thoughts come to us, we cannot allow ourselves to entertain them. We must instead call out to the Lord and request his resurrection peace. Number three, let go of desires. Many times it's unhealthy desires inside us that rob us of the peace that he longs to give us. The biggest problem I have found with unhealthy desires is that they are never satisfied, or at least for long. When we get what we desire, we start desiring something else. James talked about this in his letter. He says, what causes conflict among you? Does it not come from the unhealthy desires within you? One person desires this, the other person desires that. It's like this thing is it just causes us to stay in a place of constant unrest, confusion, just not being at peace. The very peace that he steps into the midst of our situation to offer us. I'm going to go back, and I'm not necessarily proud that I've seen this movie, but I want to try to illustrate what I'm saying to you. Many years ago, back in the 70s, there was a movie out called The Jerk. Not recommending it. I'm not a movie critic, nothing like that, but there's a scene in the movie that totally stands out to me. You may remember it. I don't know if you know about the story, but this guy that came out of nowhere, I want to give you the whole story, but he invented this, for those of you who remember the movie, he invented a thing that went on glasses. I think it was like a nose piece that went on glasses somehow. Do you remember that? And he became famous and got a whole lot of money. He became incredibly wealthy because of this little nose piece he made for glasses. He got the big house. He got the nice wife. He got it all. He got it out of cars, the whole nine yards. He got it all. Well, then somebody sued him and his business because because of this piece that was on the eyeglasses, it made him cross-eyed because they were always looking at the piece. It's a funny movie, by the way. It wasn't serious. So he went from having everything to bankrupt and having nothing, absolutely nothing. So the scene I draw your attention to is a scene in the movie where he's in his office / part of his house there where he did his business, where he wrote his checks and whatnot. And in that part of the movie, he says, I don't need anything. He's getting ready to leave. He's leaving his house. He's leaving the life that he had and everything. He said, I don't need anything. And this isn't what happened in the movie. Except this box of Kleenexes. That's all I need. I just need this box of Kleenexes. I don't need anything else. I just need this box of Kleenexes. Oh, and I also need this notebook. I need this notebook. I don't need anything else, just the box of Kleenexes and the notebook. And he starts to leave. Oh, and I need this pick, too. I don't need anything. I don't need the box of Kleenexes. Or I just need the box of Kleenexes, the notebook, and the pick. Oh, yeah. And I need these glasses. And I'm not going to use glasses. I need this switcher. I don't need anything. All I need is the Kleenexes, the notebook, the pick, and the switcher. That's all I need. That's all I need. My point is, as long as we grab hold of all of this stuff, our hearts and our lives are way too full to embrace the Zoe life of God. In order to embrace what Jesus is offering to us, we have to be willing to let go of stuff. You can't have peace the way he wants you to have it. You can't get delivered from fears, doubts, and anxiety if you're going to hang on to everything. Yes. Oh, I got to have this. I got to have that. There's no room. Jesus is saying, love, listen, I'd like to give it to you, but you've got kind of a full load right now. That's what he was teaching when he said, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you'll lose your life, you'll find it. We got to let go of the stuff. I don't want to be a Christian who lives like there was no resurrection. I don't want to simply be ongoingly thankful for what he did for me on the cross, but I live like Sunday never happened. If we really believe that he rose from the dead, it should change everything. 2,000 years ago, that very thing happened. And the resurrection is more than a historical event. It's more than a theological event or doctrine. Jesus Christ is alive in order to bring us to life. He came out of the tomb to bring us out of our tombs. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back to the platform, Scott, and if we could do one of the songs that you had there, I'd appreciate it. The old song, I know we've been singing this new version of Because He Lives, but the old one that the Gaithers wrote, bless you, the old one that the Gaithers wrote, and what do we say? We found out it was 71 or 72. The Gaither band, they weren't band back then, quartet or whatever they were. Because he lives. And one of the phrases in the song, it says, all fear is gone. What? In the same way that Jesus Christ came and stood among those disciples on that day, he desires to come and stand with you. And he is speaking to you the same words that he said to them on that day. Peace be with you. It's an invitation to join with him, the resurrected one, and receive the benefits of him being alive. Now, the last couple weeks, we've opened up the altar, the whatever you want to call it here, the front, to receive whatever it was we were talking about. First week was the Zoe life of God. Last week it was living hope. This week I'd like to pray for peace to come over people's lives, to invade people's lives. But again, I say that knowing full well that necessitates all of us, not just you, but all of us, letting go of some things to receive it. We can't have our arms full of all these other things and expect to embrace what he has for us. Some of you that are in here, you need a fresh revelation and a fresh injection of the peace of the resurrected Jesus in your life. Here's the thing. Because the reason I know that is, in talking with many of you, I can hear your frustration. I can hear your at times even despair about stuff in life, the bios of life, and some of the psyche stuff that goes inside of all of us. You actually despair some of the things. You get angry. You get frustrated. That is a sign. There it is. You ready? That's a sign that the peace of Christ is needed in my life. Now, here's the sad part. Sad part is that many times you will come and go from a service like this and never step out. You'll never let go and receive what he has for you. You know, you just go. And I'm saying to you this morning, let go of your ego. Let go of your thoughts. Let go of your desires. Not all of them, obviously, but the ones that are troubling to you. Let go of those things and receive the peace that he so desperately wants to give you. I'm going to ask everybody to stand if you would. All fear is gone. Now, I know we're all big people here. We're all grown adults, and we don't like to be transparent about things that really, really bother us, really cause us some anxiety and frustration, especially men. We don't like to talk about those things because it doesn't feel right. But I am just convinced in my heart of hearts here this morning that there are people that you're stuck. You're stuck where you're at. And to go back to Tammy's word to us this morning, the Lord is saying, come out. Yes. Come out wherever you are and receive the resurrection peace I have for you. Receive the living hope that I have for you. Receive the Zoe life of God that I have for you. And so we're going to begin singing, and if you just need, you know you need the fresh peace of God. Your heart is just, it's troubled and anxious. It gets bothered about many things. You're like a Martha. You're worried and upset about many things. That's a sign that you need a fresh revelation and a fresh download of the peace of God in your heart and life. So, Scott, I don't know what song you want to sing, but if you want prayer for such things this morning, I'm going to invite you to do like we've done the last couple of weeks. Just make your way out of wherever you are. Stand in an aisle. Stand up here, wherever, and then we'll pray in just a moment. I especially want to encourage some of you, like I'm thinking Chip and Lisette, and some of you have got some junk going on right now in your lives. I know how fear can just kind of seep in there and just cause your mind to do double time all the time. So I want to pray for you especially that the peace of God would be so rich and real to you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I guess the song that we did earlier that's most on my heart right now is with that image of Lazarus in mind, not allowing the enemy to confine you to that place of fear, but seeing that Jesus has rolled the stone away. This song, I Am Free, it's maybe not your traditional altar call for peace, but it's something about it. It's almost like we need to make a declaration. I know the guy who wrote this song, John Egan, he didn't write this song to be, hey, here's a fun song we could sing in church. It'd be all happy and everything. He wrote it because he was struggling deeply with some things in his heart, and he needed to declare, I'm free, even though he didn't feel it. And you need to, from the perspective of the darkness of the tomb that you're in, tomb of fear, whatever it is, you need to look at the Savior. You can see him because he's rolled the stone away. You may still be in the tomb, but I'm just picturing you got to look towards the light and he's calling you out. Mm. And you need to say, I don't have to stay here. The door's open. I'm free. And I'm through you, Lord, I can be free. So I just want you to have that image in your mind and declare this, that you're free from the fears through him.
Yes, Lord.
Through you the blind will see, through you the mute will sing, through you the dead will rise, through you our hearts will praise, through you the darkness flees, through you my heart screams, I am free.
Before you here this morning, we're lifting our eyes and we're fixing them on you. We're also letting our hearts be directed towards you right now. And I'm asking Heavenly Father for you once again to open heaven up over top of each one of these folks that are standing here, Lord, and let fear, anxiety, all those things that trouble us, Lord, let that stuff evaporate in Jesus' name right now. Let it just come off of them in Jesus' name right now. You say you've come to deliver us, but you've also come to give us. I'm asking you to deliver us from roots of fear, frustration, anxiety, doubt, confusion, all of those things that drive us crazy. Lord, let that stuff just fall off in Jesus' name right now. But you not only came to deliver us from stuff, you came to give us stuff also. To deliver stuff to us. And I'm praying right now for the peace of God. The peace of God. To be in abundance. For each heart and life is stepping out right now, Lord. That your peace, God, would rule and reign. It would be the thing that guards our hearts and our minds from all of this other type of thought life and ego and stuff getting in the messing things up, Lord. That you would set your peace. We join with you this morning, the resurrected one. We're going to live like Sunday really happened. We're going to live like that actually happened. Like there is nothing, that can stop you from doing what you've set out to do. There's no person, there's no religious person, there's no political person, there's not a wife or a husband or a child or an aunt or an uncle or a mom or a dad that can get in the way of you doing what you've set out to do. So we believe that because we know there was nothing that stopped you from coming alive again. We believe that. Now, may we personalize that and believe that there is nothing that can separate us from the love, peace, hope, joy, all the things that the resurrection Son has come to bring us. There's nothing that can separate us from that. We're putting our chips on that. We're putting our confidence in that. We're putting our faith in that. That there's nothing, unless we allow it, unless we hang on to something, there's nothing that can keep us from enjoying and experiencing the peace that you came to life again to bring us. Let it flow, Lord. Let it flow in our hearts and lives. We know that there's those entities and those people and those situations that will be quick, even after this moment right now, to take us back into that closet, to bring us back into that room again where we're living a guarded life, a sheltered life that is not free and prosperous. Lord, we say no to that stuff in Jesus' name. We say no to those situations. We say no to those people. We let go of that stuff. We even denounce it right now in Jesus' name. We denounce it in Jesus' name. They will not imprison me. That situation will not hold me back. I have been set free, and I'm going to live like I'm free. I'm not going to allow my mind to get bogged down by confusion. I'm not going to allow my doubts and my fears to paralyze me. When they come, I'm going to dismiss them in Jesus' name. They are free to go. I'm not going to linger with them. I'm not going to toy with them. I will say, you're free to go. No, thank you. You're welcome. And move on. Lord, again, we want to live like it's Sunday, not like it's Saturday. We want to live like it's Monday, not like it's Saturday. We want to live like it's Tuesday, not like it's Saturday. We want to live in the power of your resurrection. We pray you would deliver us from the fear of bio stuff. We pray you deliver us from the fear of psyche stuff. And we would find ourselves feeding on the bread of life, on the eternal life, on the resurrection life that you've offered to us. We're letting go of the Kleenex boxes and the notebooks and the picks and the switcher and all that other stuff. We're trading our sorrows, so to speak. We're letting go of that stuff. Fill us, we pray, with every grace of peace. Come and stand beside us. Come and stand among us. We join your invitation. Because we know that where you are, there is fullness of life. Because I live, we can live also. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Scott, can we play that, our theme song, one more time on the way out the door? Awesome. Listen, if you need...